This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just living as we would like to live the Christian life. That is, to go beyond talking about what should be done, to make an impact for God's kingdom. And certainly a big part of this is the life of prayer. We have with us guest Manny Hill. He's written a book, and a book has come out of his life experience around prayer. And Manny, your book, Radical Prayer, is a very powerful read. I just finished it this morning, and I'm glad we have you on to talk about what God has done in your life.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you and with your extensive audience around the world. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so let's go back a little bit and give people some of the storyline. I mean, God's story of your life, Manny. You, early on, were running from the FBI, is that right?
Yes, I did.
You were in trouble. And
I was in big trouble.
But, you know, I think you were running from something much more than an agency. You were running from God. And
got
you can't
right.
get far with that until God catches up to you. Is that right?
Yeah.
So your life was turned around through some time spent behind bars. How did God touch you while you were in prison?
Well, not only did he touch me, but he impacted me for life. I was invaded by the grace of God. I had a mother who was a witch. She was a medium. All these demons went through her. I am from Cuba. So she became a witch, a medium. We call that Santería, Espiritismo. And she thought that she was seeking God. She was seeking God because she wanted to help my uncle, who was demon-possessed, actually. And he spent 20 years in a hospital for people who have mental disorder. And he was there for that long time, and they could not help him. And my mom went to see this witch doctor, and he asked her to bring him out, and she did. And when they got there, they took the demon out of my uncle, and he never went back to this hospital. And he stayed out.
Wow.
And that's what she became involved in, that thinking that that was the way to go. She was ignorant, but one day she was saved from the wrath of God, saved from the guilt of a sin and from the slavery of sin. And she became a true believer, and she began to intercede for me. And the more that she did, the worse I got, you see. Mm. But she was the vessel of mercy in my life that God used to really bring me to Jesus, as I was facing 55 years behind bars, hiding in Caracas, Venezuela. And it was there when Jesus confronted me with his truth and invaded me with his wonderful grace, and I became a born-again believer, facing the music of the FBI, coming back and going into prison.
What a story. And a lot of people listening would say, this whole thing about demons, I don't get it. I don't necessarily believe it. But you lived it. You were right in the middle of this, and you saw the power of evil and then the power of good. And so how did you get out of prison? I mean, 55 years of sentence, how did that get lessened?
It was a miracle. I threw myself at the mercy of God. I knew that I was guilty. I knew that I had done it. So I was not going to fight it. Although I was scared to death, because, I mean, who wants to go to prison? Nobody. But I came back, and God was merciful to me. The judge gave me 3 years out of a possible 55. I served almost 2 years. But God the Father began to use me in the prison in a very mighty way. And I got to hear about Chuck Colson. I'm sure that you know that name.
Yes.
And Chuck was very good to me. And through him, I was able to get out and go to Wheaton College.
Wow.
And under the Chuck Colson scholarship, so I got my BA degree, I got my master's degree, I was ordained 26 years ago as a minister, and God the Father called me to begin what's called Koinonia House National Ministries, which is a ministry that helps men, women, and youth behind bars, their families, their children, and not only while they're there in behind bars, but also when they get out. That's the most important part of the need that they have. It's not just to make the baby, but it's also to take care of the baby. And we have 2.6 million people in this country behind bars, and they come from broken families. And we want to make sure that they will not go back into prison, nor their children will go into prison either.
So you titled your latest book Radical Prayer. What do you mean by radical? Why, you know, what maybe everybody prays to some God sometime or other. What are you talking about, radical?
Yes. Well, in the back of my book I say, when we hallow the name of the Father, big things happen. When we actually petition, you know, when we ask God's name to be hallowed, big things happen. What I mean is that radical means hallowed be thy name. I believe that in Luke 11, 1 and 2, when Jesus is being asked by his disciples, teach us to pray, in verse 2, Jesus responds and he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I am arguing in the book that hallowed be thy name is not just a way to worship, it is a petition. That's what a radical, you know.
Yeah, so we're acknowledging the source of all power.
And what we're saying is, hallowed be thy name means let your name be worshipped, let your name be exalted, let your name be defended, let your name be revered, let your name be cherished and valued. Because many of us don't do that. Many of us do not respect. Even as we go to church, even as we call ourselves Christians, we are not respecting, we are not valuing that name. And what Jesus is saying to us here is, I'd like you to talk to God and to petition of him what is important to him, what is his main value, which is to hallow his name. So let your kingdom come for what? To hallow your name. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For what? To hallow your name. Give me some food. Give me my daily bread. For what? To hallow your name. So I argue in the book that I cannot really ask God for anything unless I am hallowing his name. I am petitioned to hallow his name in everything that I ask of him, and to do it in a way that his name will be honored and it will be worshipped. And I also argue in the book that I cannot tell you, Dr. Campbell, that I love you unless I am committed to be praying for you, that I cannot say to you that I do love you, which we say that so many times, unless I am really interceding for you, praying for you.
And of course, again, hallowed be thy name, we're praying for God's best in someone else. It's a heart prayer that connects with the very purpose of God. So prayer is really the very breath of God flowing through our souls, and it can impact the world, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's an awesome tool, and you write so much about it, but so much of it is based on your own dynamic experience.
What I'm saying in the book is that even I was involved for 20 years now when I was convicted by the Holy Spirit involving full-time ministry. I was going into the prisons, into the jails. I was writing books. I was engaged, but yet I was not praying. God had to use my own wife, who I love so much, to get involved into a car crash, losing three fingers. It was then that I realized that I was treating my father as a paramedic. I was just coming to God when I needed him. In other words, I was calling God on a 911 call. Yes, I knew the Father. I knew Jesus. I was saved, but I was not really entering into this perpetual love affair that Jesus has with the Father and that the Father has with Jesus. And I also remind people that Jesus is my older brother, and therefore God is not going to give Jesus more or less than he's going to give me. In other words, I am an adopted son, and you are as well, and those who are listening. So therefore, I want to enter into that love affair that Jesus has with the Father. And the only way to do that is through radical prayer, you see, is by hallowing God's name. So this book is a warning that many of us, including me, I used to treat my father as a paramedic, because when I heard that my wife was in this car crash and the chief said to me, "Manny, you cannot go any further." I said, "What do you mean, chief?" He said, "Yeah, we have people already helping her because the car was tilt. She was inside that car, trapped for 90 minutes, bleeding. And I was going to go and help her, but I couldn't do anything." And he tells me, "Manny, you can do one thing. You can talk to God, pray." And at that moment that he said that, I felt like a hypocrite, because I was just going to treat my father as those 11 paramedics were trying to do to rescue my wife. So that was a convicting moment, and the beginning of an awakening. That was 5 years ago, of in my own heart that I was not relating to my father the way that I ought to.
And it's so true for many of us, and I can say this for me at times, prayer becomes the emergency response instead of the radical and consistent walk. And so, Manny, you began to do prayer walking, and you became so focused on it that people saw you lose so much weight and I think become healthier. They didn't recognize you. Tell us about that.
Well, after that, and I saw my wife with other fingers now on her left hand, and I went to a pastor's conference. Let me say that first here, that she sent me to go, because I used to go there, I mean, every year, over 2,000 pastors. And the theme for that year was about prayer. And she knew that the Holy Ghost was now doing something radically in my own heart. So she sent me, because I was not going to go. I was going to be that great husband to help her here at home. And she said, no, you're going to go. So I went. And we heard great sermons and great talks, and I found out there that 80% of pastors in this country, in America, don't possess a personal life that really communicates with the Father. And I came home like, man, you know, and the people that get paid to do this are not doing it. And I was part of that as well, so that was a great conviction for me. Then I went away to a cabin in Wisconsin to get a long time with my father. And he gave me an F- because I wanted him to really give me the grade in how I've been doing now for 20 years in his ministry. And he told me in the first hour that I was getting an F- because my life before him stunk because I was not praying. And he told me that he was going to give me another chance that he did not give to Moses. I was reminded that Moses, the greatest leader in the Old Testament, did not have a do-over. And he was going to give me not only mercy, but also grace, which he did not give to Moses. He killed Moses because Moses failed to hallow the holy name of the Father. And I began to walk. And he told me, "Begin to walk with me. Begin to walk with me." And I've been doing that for 5 years now. And yes, I lost 87 pounds because I was not even keeping my temple where the Holy Ghost lives in. I was not keeping it in good shape either.
So prayer walking, it's something some of us have only heard about. Some of the listeners would say, what does that mean? Explain, Manny.
Well, I walk and I speak to the Father in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I do it in Spanish, which is my first language, by the way. And I have two routes. One is a shorter route, about an hour and 15 minutes. Another one is about 2.5 hours. And depending on my day of what I have to do I either walk the short route or the long route. And I just talk to him. I talk to him in such a way that my confidence level is rising every day, because I don't want miracles just to happen sporadically. Mm. I want two miracles to happen every day, every hour. I really want to hallow the name of my Father as often as I can. Mm. So I have a list of things that I want him to do, beginning with me. You see, when I come to the Father, it's not about changing things. It's about changing me and changing people. Prayer will not change things. Prayer will change people. Mm. And it has to begin with my own heart. I have so many internal turmoils yet that they have to be transformed. And my big one is, I tell people that if we don't ask God for the impossible, we are offending God. I want to make sure that when I talk to my Father, I'm asking for things that are supernatural, that humanly speaking, nobody can do it. Mm. And I'm following the Luke 11 model of asking, seeking, and knocking. I say that the power of being bold and persistent in the front cover of the book. And being bold means praying without fear. Fear is what stopped us from really relating to our Father. And it's something about the Father that really makes us become intimate with him. And he's a good Father, you know. He says, listen, if you being an evil father, if your son asks you for a piece of toast, a piece of bread with butter and jelly, you're not going to give him a stone. Or if he asks you for some fried eggs or scrambled eggs with cheese and tomatoes and mushroom, you're not going to just give him a scorpion. Or if he asks you for a nice piece of fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. Then how much more is your Heavenly Father? He's not going to give you. And he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, which is the same helper, the same help that he gave Jesus on his most crucial moment of his life, when he was hanging for us on the cross, you see. He got the Holy Spirit, so he's given us the same help to deal with our issues and to deal with our challenges and to deal with our tests and trials and to deal with life, which is so difficult, you know.
Yes.
So when I walk, I make sure that what I'm asking of my Father, it is things that will hallow his name. I want his name to be frequently hallowed.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love what you said, that it offends God for us not to ask for the impossible.
It does.
I love that, because it's so fitting when we think of who God is, that he'd be waiting for us to ask for something that only he can do. Otherwise, why bother to pray?
And the thing is this, you see, God gives us a few things that we need to take into account. He says to us, listen, don't go to any other person, come to me. He says, if you come to me, number one, I will give you an instant audience. Mm. Number two, I will listen to you for as long as you want to talk to me, and I'm going to listen to you without any distractions. And number three, I'm going to answer your prayer. Mm. Even if you say no. Even
yes.
If you say no, I'm going to answer. Even if you have to wait, I'm going to answer you, but don't go to any other door. That's why that parable of Luke 11 is so powerful, because God wants us to knock on God's door, even if he tells us to go away because he's sleeping with his children right now. You keep knocking, because the purpose of us praying, Dr. Campbell, is that God is giving us an opportunity to hallow his name, and we need to persevere with joy and not change doors and not giving up so quickly, and stay there by the door, because not only do we not want to bring shame to the Father, that's the opposite of not hallowing his name, but we also want to make sure that we don't bring shame to our word, because we're telling people, hey, God will come through. My Father will come through for you. He will give you the same grace that he gave me, because he's not and respected of persons. Therefore, Jesus is my older brother, and the Father has given Jesus everything that he had. John 14, therefore, we are also entitled, not that we, but he has given us the same benefits and the same blessings that he's given to Jesus. And we don't want to use them for our own purpose. We want to use it to hallow his name and to love our neighbors, because we want to fulfill the Great Commission in the context of the first and second greatest commandment, which is to love God, our Father, and to love our neighbor.
So, Manny, here you have had a radical turnaround from running from the law to running for God, and you've learned to walk in prayer, and you're seeing dramatic answers. So let me ask you this question. I think everybody may be carrying this somewhere, this question in their hearts. You did mention sometimes God answers, he could answer no. How then do we know when we pray for something that we feel is God's will and it doesn't seem to come to pass? Has he said no, or does he want us to persevere and keep praying? How do you know the difference?
Well, I think that the content, this is so critical, the content of what we are asking God has to be within his word. I need to remind myself that there are over 7,000 promises in God's word. And that's why one of the main points that I make in the book is that we have to fuel every petition with God's word. For example, Malachi 4:6, which says, God the Father is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. And we know that the number one difficulty, impossibility that we have in this country, even in the church in America, is the broken family. That's why people go to prison, because they don't have a father in the home, and the absentee of the dad is a big deal. So when we ask God for his word, I believe that he's going to come through. Now, if we're sick, someone has cancer, someone has diabetes, and they don't get healed from that, that doesn't mean that we are not going to ask God to bring healing to that person. We are going to, but it may not happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's not because God didn't want to, is because that was not his will for that particular person. So we're not going to fret because it doesn't happen, you see. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus is the same, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. So the content of what we ask God is critical. So sometimes he says no, but I don't think that we should give up, especially when we know that what we're asking is biblical. That's so critical, that we know it is in the Word of God. We know for sure that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us until the end of the age. We also know that if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, he's going to provide for us, and he will be faithful. And he wants us to ask because and to seek and to knock, because a stake is always, the hallowing of his name. He wants his name to be hallowed. He says there in Isaiah 42:8 that his glory, which is to hallow his name, will not be compromised. Therefore, the more we ask, the more we seek, the more we knock, we get those opportunities to become a much more credible witness for his hallowing.
I love
and therefore, that. We are not to give up. And that's the lesson of Luke 11:8, that it says that the man behind the door, which I am arguing in the book is God, got up from the bed, not so much because it was the friend of the one that was knocking on the door with persistency, but because of his persistency, because of his inappropriateness. In the next two verses, 9 and 10, it says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. For everyone who asks, we will receive. For everyone who knocks, the door will be open. For everyone who seeks, will find. So there's the teaching there. There's a lesson there that the answer may be no, but we are going to be persistent. We're going to be aggressive in what we ask. Because, I mean, if we don't, if we're honest with each other, that's not the way that many of us pray. We want things instantly. We want things right now. We want things when we want. And if we're honest with each other, many of the things that we ask are very selfish,
mm-hmm.
are very self-centered.
So, Manny, here's one thing I'd like to say. We're right near the end here of our time. If we can line up with Scripture and we pick things like, you know, Jesus said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. So we pray for that.
Yeah.
And we pray for the gospel to reach all the nations. We pray for the church to be revived. We pray, we pray for physical healing. We pray for people's salvation. We will, in the end, when God, when we come into the new heaven and new earth, we will see all of these things fulfilled. Our prayers are going to be answered. But the thing is, as you say, if we would just persist and be bold and knock more loudly on the door of the throne of heaven, we'll see more and more answers now and today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can say this to you. God's word does not go back void.
Mm.
He says there in Matthew that God's promises are yes and amen in who? In Christ Jesus. And therefore, our Father will never go back on his word.
Amen.
And we may not see it with our physical eyes, but we're going to see it someday that those prayers counted for God's hallowing of his name.
Thank you. This is our time is out now, but you are such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to many who are listening. May God help us.
Thank you.
To follow the trail you've been following and to take prayer more seriously, no longer just done in times of emergency, but a walk of prayer that becomes very bold and asks God for the impossible and perseveres in it. God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for this time
and
for your words.
May the Lord bless you and bless all your audience. God
Thank
bless you.
You.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.